So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We'll be reading from there in just a moment. This morning, we're taking some time to consider the first two words of that prayer. Our Father. Now, this is a well-known prayer, but perhaps it is not as well-practiced as it is well-known. And maybe your heart already resonates with that, saying yes. And so, that's a good thing, because we all come this morning to learn. We all come to grow. If you feel like my prayer life is just great, I'm really glad for you. But you might be the only one who's here feeling that way. And so this whole series, which is entitled Pray Like This, Talking to God Like Jesus Taught, is aimed at taking each little piece and saying, how does this help us learn to pray? As Ian pointed out last week, we don't really rehearse speeches to our parents usually, unless that is we really want something. I've got to make this one good. I've got to convince them, right? Or we've really done something bad. Now, I don't remember what my brother had done when we were young. He was probably 7, 8 years old. I don't remember what he did, but it must have been bad, because years later we found a letter to prove that something had been done. You know, usually you can speak easily to your parents, but he wrote them a letter. It went like this: Dear Mom and Dad, I know that I will always love you. I know that I will never hate you. Can I please have my baseball cards back? They knew how to punish where it hurt. So when we're talking about God being our Father, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about a stiff, like, maybe. Let me think of nice things to say so you'll like me. We're talking about the free conversation of children who know they are loved and can ask for anything. Not the stiff conversation of one who needs to win his parents over to an idea or win back their love somehow. You might be thinking, you know, really, a sermon on two words? You're going to be done in like 15 minutes, right? Those of you who know me well know that the answer to that is no. But really, like, why can't we just like get into the petitions? Let's get into the rest of the prayer. I mean, it's just the opening. It's just the equivalent of what we do when we're praying and say, Dear Heavenly Father. And you'd be right, and that's why I think we need a whole sermon on it. Because when we pray, if we do start our prayers that way, usually it's just because we've started our prayers that way perhaps for decades. And we get through the Dear Heavenly Father on the way to what we need and what we want. And these two words, Our Father, are meant to stop us in our tracks. And so this morning we want to stop for a few minutes, and, well, maybe more than a few minutes, and slow down and consider what it means to be able to call God our Father. Why can we call Him that? And then we want to consider how we talk to Him, like His sons and daughters. Jesus isn't just giving us a neat way to open our prayers. He's teaching us how. And so this morning we're talking about how we pray, why we pray, because of these amazing words, Our Father. The big idea then is this: we talk to God as our Father by enjoying the privileges and embracing the responsibilities of sons and daughters in the power of the Spirit, because He has made us His children through Jesus. So we had the why there at the end and the how a little earlier. We'll take those in reverse order. But the big idea again is this. We talk to God as our Father. How? By enjoying the privileges and embracing the responsibilities of sons and daughters in the power of the Spirit, because he has made us his children through Jesus. And if you need something a little shorter than that, in this sermon we're trying to show why we can call God our Father at all, and then how we talk to him like sons and daughters. We need to understand and learn to enjoy the amazing privilege that we have in calling him Father. And we also need to embrace the responsibilities that come with bearing his name. So let's look now at our text, Matthew 6. We'll begin reading in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father. So let's take a moment right now to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why can we pray like that? Why can we talk to God like sons and daughters? We talk to him like sons and daughters because by his grace we are. It's what we've been celebrating for the last almost hour together. We are the children of God, but we were not his children from birth. We were by nature, according to Ephesians 2, children of wrath, sons of disobedience. In John 8, Jesus describes people still in their natural state as being of their father, the devil. He says explicitly to them, God is not your father. And so when we pray our Father, it's not out of this general sense that God is father over all because he's made us all. There is that, but that's not why we can call him our Father. Because when we consider it more specifically, we are children of wrath. We are sons of disobedience. We are liars and murderers like our father, the devil. So from our physical birth, we were not children of God. But as we read responsively earlier this morning from John 1, Jesus gives those who receive him by faith the right to become children of God. He does it through another birth. Not our first birth, but a second birth. It's also called in John's gospel the new birth, or being born of God. That's what we had in John 1 this morning. Or being born of the Spirit. We are made alive to God by the Spirit because of the work of Jesus for us. So how did he give us that right? What gave him the right to give us the right? Children don't usually get to decide who is in the family. So how could the Son give people the right to become children of God? He did it by living the righteous life as God's Son that we have failed to live. He did it by being abandoned on the cross and treated not like a son, but like God's enemy, to bring many sons to glory as he paid for all our sin, and then by rising from the dead on the third day to guarantee our justification. He did this because he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So why can we come? Why can we say our Father? Because of Jesus. Because he has made the way. He is the one who has gone before us. And when the Father looks at us, he sees the perfect work of his Son, and he is pleased. So now, why this fear and unbelief? The Father has put to grief his own Son for us, to make us his sons and daughters. So in a way, praying our Father means praying in Jesus' name. We usually open prayers with "Dear Heavenly Father" and close them with "In Jesus' name." And this prayer doesn't close with "In Jesus' name." You say, well, this is not a good model prayer. What's wrong with him? But calling God our Father is a reminder that every prayer must be in Jesus' name, because it's only through him that we come. There's no other way we come to God. Jesus is the one who brings us in. He is the one who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. As we read earlier from 1 John, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Right now, all who are hoping in Jesus are God's children. Right now, we're his children by adoption into his family. We were not his by nature. He chose us. He chose us not because we were so wonderful. He wouldn't have. He chose us because he loves us. And perhaps you're not used to thinking of God the Father this way. Some have taught that he's some angry, far-off God, particularly the God of the Old Testament, the Father, and he, the only reason he likes us at all is because Jesus did what he did and said, look, see, this was enough. The Father is not some angry, far-off God who wants to destroy us and then is forced to say okay because the Son pleads with him. Remember, the Father is the one who sent the Son on his mission. He's the one who sent the Son because he, the Father, loved us before we were his children. He sent the Son to die for all our sins. And he's the same one who sends the Spirit to tell us that we are his. Galatians 4:4-6 captures this perfectly. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There are many texts that teach this truth. John 3:16 is a very familiar one, right? God loved the world in this way, that he sent his one and only Son, that so whoever believes would not perish, but would have eternal life. In 1 John 4:14, we see that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This truth, before we run on to the petitions, should make us stop and be filled with wonder, be filled with gratitude, that we who deserve his wrath would inherit with Jesus all things. Talk about getting a good deal. And we have God himself for our Father. So this should lead to wonder and gratitude. These words, our Father, should lead us to praise, to pause and say thank you before we say please. praise comes prior to the petitions. Praise comes prior to the petitions. So this morning, what do we want to feel? We want to believe that God is our Father like this. That He has loved us like He says that He has. And because He has loved us, we are His children. We talk to God like sons and daughters because He has made us His children. Because we are. So that's why. We come through Jesus because God has made us sons and daughters. But how? I mean, what does it mean to talk to God like sons and daughters? So how do we talk to God like sons and daughters? We enjoy the privileges that come with being sons and daughters. And we also embrace the responsibilities that come with bearing His name. So let's take that first one. Enjoy the privileges. That's how we talk to God like sons and daughters. And we're talking about privileges. We're talking here about access and expectations. We have all ours access to the Father. We can ask Him for anything at any time. We can ask Him about anything at any time. Therefore, we talk to Him about everything all the time. Since we can talk to Him anything, anytime about anything, we talk to Him about everything all the time. One way, just very practically, we can learn to talk to God like sons and daughters is that we talk to Him first before anyone else about things we're facing. I don't know all the difficulties that you or perhaps your family are facing this morning. But one of the ways that we can apply this sermon, apply these words, our Father, is to talk to Him and to talk to Him first about our troubles. When my children are having trouble, they come to me or to their mother. They come to us, not to you. Right? Because we're their parents. My children run to me and my wife for comfort, for protection, for direction. It is funny sometimes in settings like this where you have lots of people around, maybe between the two gatherings, and you'll see a child run up to someone who they think is their parent. And they're, you know, I'm thinking of one who's like, you know, this, right? So they mainly engage in that moment by grabbing onto the leg. And it's like, lots of people's pants look the same. And they're about the right height. And they grab on. And then they look up. And I love the look that you get in that moment. I mean, I love to be able to alleviate the feeling that came with that look very quickly and say, no, your dad's right there. But thank you. That made me feel great for a minute that someone needed me. Right? It's a scary moment for them until they can find the person they thought that they had. And so how do we be like them? How do we talk to God like sons and daughters? We run to Him and we grab hold. And He'll never look down at us in that moment, say, I'm sorry, I have to finish this conversation. Right? We have all ours access to Him. And if we really believe that He is our Father, we will come to Him with our joys, with our sorrows, with our struggles, with our pain, no matter how big and no matter how small, right? To my kids, there is nothing so big that I can't take care of it. And there's nothing so small that I won't care about it. Of course, with God, that is actually true. They believe it of me now. But that is the kind of Father that God really is. The same dad who puts a roof over your head and provides your food also gets down on the floor and dresses your dolls when you can't quite get their shoes on right. God is that kind of Father to us. He cares about the biggest big things, and He's actually big enough to take care of them. and he cares about the smallest of the small things. If he knows how many hairs you have on your head, you know he cares. He cares about even the smallest things. And so we have this amazing all hours access to him. I love the way Pastor Tim Keller in New York City talked about prayer. He said this, "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 o'clock in the morning for a glass of water is a child." We have that kind of access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he calls himself Dad to us. And so just like our children don't hesitate to run for help, we should run to our loving Father. We will never be turned away because of Jesus. We will never be told, "I'm too busy right now," because he's our Father who loves us. We have all hours access, and we can expect good things from God because he is our Father. And maybe all this is hard because the idea of being of God being like your father is terrible. Maybe when you think of a father, words like demanding, distant, and aloof come to mind, or worse. Sometimes we're not good fathers. We're too busy. We're too self-consumed. We're too distracted. God is not like that. He's not like us. That's good. He's a good, good father. He's the best. Listen to these words of Jesus from just a chapter later than where we have this prayer. He tells his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." And here's why. "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil," again, he's speaking to his disciples, not the Pharisees in this moment. "If you then, who are evil," let's wear that, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So we pray then with confidence for provision, for pardon, for protection. That's what's in the petitions that we'll be looking at in the weeks to come. We pray with confidence for those things because he's our Father. Now, I know it's not Father's Day. Maybe this sermon's more appropriate for that. But just some application for dads. What kind of access do your kids have to you? And what can they expect from you? You have an opportunity to help shape significantly how they will view God as their Father. Don't waste it. Do they have real access to you, to your heart? Can they expect love from you when they come running to you? Can they expect you to have time for them, to really listen to them, to give them what they need? Perhaps you say, I've kind of already run that race. My kids are all gone, and I'm feeling the weight of not having done well. There is grace and forgiveness and mercy for you because you are a child too, and you have God as your Father, and Jesus' death was strong enough to pay for even your failures to look like your Heavenly Father. Just as for those of us who feel like in many ways we're just starting that race, we need the ongoing forgiveness of our Heavenly Father that has been purchased for us in Christ. So run to him. You will never be turned away. God does all this for us and more. We have all hours access, and we can expect good gifts from our good Father. So as you pray, enjoy these privileges. Run to Him about everything. With my kids, there's no topic that's off limits. I hear about everything, sometimes things that don't even exist. Admittedly, those are the hard times for me. We have one who's turning 5 tomorrow, who sometimes just will not stop. And I know, like, none of this conversation is rooted in any sort of reality. And so it's hard. But it matters to her. And she wants to know that I care about what matters to her, even if it's not real. Because to her, it's as real as her brother standing next to her at the moment, also trying to talk to me. She needs to know that I care. Even if I don't feel like whatever's happening in that moment is the most important thing for me to be doing. God has time for you, much better than I do for my kids. Enjoy that privilege. Run to Him. He will never cast you out because His Son was cast out for you. That's good. Good news. Oh, the love of our good, good Father. Would you feel that today? Would you know it? That He is yours and you are His because of Jesus. I need to be stopped by these words. Our Father. So we enjoy the responsibilities. We enjoy, the privileges. I'm jumping ahead of myself now that it's on the screen in front of me. We enjoy the privileges, and we embrace the responsibilities. How do we talk to God like sons and daughters? We embrace the responsibilities that come with bearing His name. Praying Our Father is a call to emulate God's holiness and love as sons and daughters. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 23 pulls together these ideas of holiness, of love, of being God's children because of the work of Jesus, and being born again. Peter writes this, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." So if we call on God as our Father, we should seek to live pure, holy lives of love because we've been bought with the blood of Christ. I'll just leave that there for now. That will come up later as we work through the petitions, perhaps maybe in Hallowed Be Your Name. So I don't want to steal everything. I think Ian's going to be doing that one from him. But calling God our Father is a call to emulate Him, to take on the family resemblance. But next, praying Our Father is a call to engage in God's mission as sons and daughters. It's a call to emulate Him in his character, but it's a call also to engage in his mission. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He sent his son on a mission to rescue sinners from death, a mission that was carried out in both word and in deed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in John 20, 21, said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So we are sent on mission too. So this call, calling God our Father, is a call to engage in God's mission. The good news is, right after Jesus said this, "I'm sending you, just like the Father sent me," he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because maybe, I can hardly keep my own act together, let alone be on mission, loving neighbors, loving community, loving others in the church. I don't have time for that. I'm so busy. I'm overwhelmed. We have the Holy Spirit who works in us to call God our Father and works in us to begin to look like what we're supposed to look like and to act like what we're supposed to act like, and gives us the power to engage in God's mission. So again, there will be much more to said about mission. In fact, Lord willing, I'll be saying some more about it in a few weeks as we work through the phrase, "Thy kingdom come." But for now, I just want to note that calling God our Father is a call to engage in the family mission. And then praying our Father is also a call to embrace God's people as brothers and sisters. 1 John 4 is an amazing chapter telling us of God's love for us. But there are some points where it turns us away from considering directly God's love for us and applies that to how we treat one another. 1 John 4, 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Then verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us to send his own son, we also ought to love one another." And then verses 19 through 21, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." If we've been born again and are children of the Father, we are called to love our brothers and sisters. And that's the significance of the "our" in our Father. Again, we kind of run past that, even in our own prayers, right? It's "Dear Heavenly Father," and then it's what I need, what I want, what I'm feeling. But these two words, "our Father," are the foundation of the concept of the church as the family of God. And if you'll notice, in the prayer in Matthew 6, every petition in the prayer is plural. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." And so, Ian taught us last week that we don't pray to impress one another, and that is for sure. We have our reward if we're doing that. But we certainly pray with one another and for one another. We pray to our Father, and we pray for these things together. So another way we can very practically apply this message, these words, "our Father," is to find brothers and sisters with whom to pray. That when you think about, hey, let's get together to watch whatever, let's get together to go wherever, we shouldn't need an official church meeting to pray. It doesn't need to be an officially set up discipleship community meeting to pray. It doesn't need to be a Sunday to pray. We have this all hours access to God, and we can expect good things from God, and we can do that together. And even as we pray for our own forgiveness, we're praying for forgiveness for our brothers and sisters. Even as we're praying for our daily bread, we're praying for our daily bread. And then when we're praying like that, we look out for one another. When we see that someone doesn't have their daily bread, we pray for God to give them daily bread, and then we give them some of ours. This prayer, our Father, turns us toward Him and then toward others, particularly our brothers and sisters in Christ, because calling God our Father is a call to embrace the family. I love God, but I don't love His people very much. They're hypocrites. And you too, right? As James said, we all stumble in many ways. So by God's grace and with the power of His Spirit, let's enjoy the privileges and embrace the responsibilities. We have responsibilities as sons and daughters, just like our kids have responsibilities. We're here to want what He wants, and we're to love what He loves. Calling God our Father is a call to emulate Him by taking on the family resemblance of holiness and love, to engage in the family mission in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to embrace the family itself. In Luke 15, Jesus tells us a story that's meant to get at the heart of the Father. It's a story about the Father's love. It's a story known as the prodigal son. Do you remember it? The younger brother demands his inheritance while his father's still living. Unexpectedly, the request is granted, and the son sets off to enjoy his life free of his father's constraints and with his portion of his father's fortune. Eventually, after much partying, the money runs out. When the money runs out, the friends walk out. He finds himself feeding pigs and wishing he could eat their food. Finally, he decides to go back home. He doesn't just need his baseball cards back. He needs pardon, provision, and protection. He rehearses his speech. "Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Please let me be one of your servants." As he approaches that familiar landscape, he sees someone running toward him. It's Dad. He doesn't need a speech. He has his son. "Kill the fatted calf. It's time to celebrate." And they do. All except one. Remember this part at the end of the story? One person is not happy. In fact, he's angry. The older brother is upset. When the father asks him to join in the celebration, the older brother tells him he can't believe this son of yours is being celebrated. Did you hear that? He can't even call him my brother. Those words will not escape his lips. This son of yours, your son. I know how parents do that sometimes when the kids, you know, they're, "Yeah, your son needs a talking to." It's like, "What have you been doing?" Right? And usually he does, and I need to do it, so that's fine. But so sometimes we do that as parents, right? You got that from you. But siblings, they share in common all those things. There's no my side of the family and your side of the family with kids, right? They're all from us. They're all from our family. But he calls him your son. See, the older brother didn't get the our part of this prayer. He's glad to call the man father. He's glad to inherit everything that is his. But the brother's been bad. And he's not worthy of being called a brother anymore. But thankfully, our older brother is not like that. Though we have all been prodigals who are in no way worthy to be called sons and daughters, Jesus is the true older brother who was sent by the Father to give his own life to bring us home. When we know that, when we really know it, we will pray with Jesus, our Father, enjoying the unbelievable privileges that we have as sons and daughters, while embracing the responsibilities that come with bearing his name. By his grace and in the power of his Spirit, let's pray together, our Father. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Father, our Father, thank you that we can call you that. Would you work in our hearts by your Spirit to love to call you Father, and to love to call one another brothers and sisters. Would you do this great work for your glory? And would you do this work for the joy of your people? As Stephen prayed earlier, would you make us a church that loves one another and is known for loving one another, because we know how deep the Father's love is for us. Would you do this good work by your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen.